Is there anyone here this morning who wants to receive what God has promised in His Word? I want it all. I'm greedy. I want it all. Because my Bible says that nothing can separate us from God's love, and that if He has not only given His love, how much more will He not graciously give us all things? Amen? The truth is, God, yeah, I want it now, yeah, that's it, here you go. The truth is, God has unlimited blessings that He wants His children to experience. So they can show the world, here's why, so they can show the world who He is, what He's like, and how He does things. And as we saw last week in Ephesians chapter 1, God has already given us every spiritual blessing in Christ, right? And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 as well, we saw that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Now, I don't have time to go on and elaborate on those again. So if you want to know what that was all about, get a copy of the message from last week and you'll get a full understanding of what those spiritual blessings are and everything that we need for life and godliness, all right? But what we did emphasize is that these spiritual blessings are called spiritual for a reason. And that reason is because we receive them in our spirit when we're born again. Okay? And we know this because the Apostle Paul states in Ephesians 1 that God has given us these spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Now, although we do receive these spiritual blessings in our spirit, what we also saw is that we do not automatically receive or experience them in the earth, in our soul, or in our body. And this is because what God has already given us as spiritual blessings in our spirit only comes to us as promises in the natural realm. Did you get that? What God gives us in our spirit that we already possess. So for example, a couple of the spiritual blessings. We have received redemption and forgiveness of sins. We have been adopted as God's sons. Okay? So those are spiritual blessings we receive in our spirit. But they become promises when it comes to experiencing them in the earth, in our soul, our mind, emotion, and will, and the body. God's promises are based upon and flow out of the spiritual blessings we have received in Christ. You need to understand that. They do flow out of the spiritual blessings. If we had not received in our spirit the blessings that we have from Christ, then there would be no promises to receive from in the earth, in our soul, and in our body. So the difference between those spiritual blessings and God's promises has to do with where they're experienced. So the promises are based upon the blessings and everything that we need for life and godliness, but they are experienced in the earth, our soul, and our body, not in our spirit. Does that make sense? Do you see the distinction? Because it's important that you understand that. The spiritual blessings and everything that we need for life and godliness are spiritual in nature. I'm glad we have them. And unfortunately, not enough people understand that, what they have in Christ. They don't understand that God has blessed them with a purpose and destiny. They don't understand that God has given them His love unconditionally. That they have an identity in Christ, which means they have authority in Christ, which means as a part of God's family, they have great possessions in Christ. All of those are what we have spiritually. But how many know we want to have more than just those things in our spirit? We want them to be able to be experienced in the earth, in our soul, and in our body. Okay? But here's that's what the promises are about. That's why God has given us the promises. Because every promise in Christ, we said last week, is yes and amen. Right? Every promise in Jesus Christ is yes and amen. That's what 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 22 says. But in order to experience the spiritual blessings God has given in our spirit, also in the earth, and also in our soul, and also in our body, we must tap into those spiritual blessings, here it is, through faith in God's promises. In order to exercise that faith, though, do you think it might be important to know what the promises are? And in addition to this, do you think it might be important that we also understand any conditions that God has established for receiving those promises? Well, how are we going to know what God's promises are and how to meet those conditions? Obviously, it's going to be in God's Word. Now, here's the challenge. How many of us really take the time? Oh, we want the promises of God. We want it all. But are we willing to invest what is required to get those promises? Because if you don't know a promise, you can't put your faith in it, in Christ who has promised it. And if you don't know the conditions that are required for inheriting or receiving that promise, then you can't receive it. So what we're going to look at this morning is the importance of and actually getting into God's Word and meeting the conditions that He gives. Amen? So let's first look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And we're going to see a beautiful example of how this all works. Okay? Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. And no, he was not Catholic, by the way. Just thought you might like to know that. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land, here it is, I am about to give them to the Israelites. So God has already made a determination, right? There is a land, and He's going to give it to the Israelites. His mind's already made up, or He wouldn't be coming to Joshua in the first place. So God's got His mind made up. And here's what He says, I will give you every place. Is that the last part of that verse? I will give you every place. Get ready. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I want to tell you, that's how many people approach the promises. And my God shall meet all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many have heard people quote that promise? Have you ever looked at the other verses around that verse? Because guess what? There's conditions. And that's how people don't understand why I'm just not getting what God has promised. He promised it. Yes, He did. But there's conditions. When you receive a promise of God in the earth, our soul, and our body, and we're going to see this, there are conditions connected with receiving that promise. You've already received it in your spirit. But in order for it to get from your spirit to one of those other places, there's conditions to be met. Okay, so here it is. God's promising, get ready. I've got a land. I'm going to give it to you. But I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Now look at this. Then he defines what he's going to give him. Now this is great. I'm going to give you everywhere you place your foot, but let me show you the boundaries of every place you need to set your foot. Right? So he continues. He says, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. So now notice that, again, is something that is associated with they're going to have to do something. Obviously, it's just not going to come without resistance. You need to know that about the promises of God. If you think you're going to acquire God's promises in this natural realm without resistance, you're kidding yourself. So we need to recognize that. There's going to be warring that has to happen in order to get what God has promised. And so no one will stand up against you. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now let me ask you something. How many times when we get in the thick of something that's difficult, even though we know we've got a promise of God, when things are resisting us, we all of a sudden think, where are you, God? You must have changed your mind. You must have left. It must not be your will. That's not it. God's not resisting you. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Guess what? That life in the full has to do with the promises. And he does not change his mind. The promise that he makes to us, he doesn't go, oh, I'm going to alter it today. Then God would be a liar. And the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. I will never leave you and forsake you. Therefore, now the therefore is not in there, but it's implied. He says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. In case you didn't get it the first time, let me say it again. Be strong and very courageous. Now, let me show you how that's going to be possible. He continues. Again, I'm adding a little bit in. But you understand, he's trying to encourage, be strong and courageous, and courage Joshua. He says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be. How many know that's conditional? That you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. So that, there it is again, you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, everybody say then. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. How many times am I going to have to tell you this, Joshua? No, I don't think Joshua was thick-headed. I think God just really wanted him to have confidence, faith, that he was going to fulfill. If Joshua would do what God commanded, God was going to be faithful to do his part. So listen, that's a message to us. If we will be faithful to do what God's word says to do, God will do his part. Every promise is yes and amen. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now what we see here is that God has given Joshua this promise, the same promise he gave Moses. But then in order to receive this promise, notice that God establishes these conditions that Joshua must meet. First and foremost, he was going to have to be strong and courageous. About four times in there. How many know that has to do with exercising faith and trust in the Lord? Even when the giants are staring you down, of course, at this point, Joshua didn't even know there were going to be giants. How many times does that happen in the midst of the promises God gives us? We start pursuing it, and all of a sudden, I wasn't expecting to have to deal with this. So there's giants in the land. So we're going to have to trust God and believe His word even when we face the impossible. You heard me, right? The impossible. Because I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible says what's impossible with man is possible with God. And if God makes a promise and it's yes and amen, then there ain't no mountain, there ain't no giant, there ain't no challenge too big that God can't defeat it. Secondly, God's people would have to place their feet on the land that God had promised them in order to lay hold of it. They were going to have to do their part. They were going to have to lay hold of. So God is giving, but they were also taking. And what they were taking meant that's what God was giving. Does that make sense? So it's not an either or. And I'm telling you, there's too much preaching in the church that's either or. They make it too man-centered and think it's all about what man does. Or they think it's all God-centered and that, well, I'm just going to sit in my easy chair and wait for God to fulfill His promise. Totally ignoring the conditions that He set about what we're called to do in order to receive the promise. We both have a part. We need to understand that. Thirdly, God commanded Joshua to meditate on His word day and night. How many know as Joshua went along, there were conditions that were already established in God's word that he was going to have to continue to meet in order to get the promise. So yes, he had to put his foot in that territory, but God had already given in his word what it was required for the nation of Israel in order to receive God's blessings. Correct? So he was saying, know what else is required and obey it. And then finally, God commanded Joshua not only to meditate on his word so that he knew what needed to be done, but to actually do it, to actually obey it. Now what's important here that we need to see is the promise God made to Joshua was already completed in the heavenly realms, just like we have already received every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly realms. See? God's mind was already made up. He had already determined the land was Israel's. God's mind is already made up, and the price has already been paid. You have already received in your spirit every, and I mean every, spiritual blessing in Christ. But I don't know about you, I'm not satisfied with just what's coming in the sweet by and by. Because I know I'm going to need some of the things associated with the sweet by and by in the here and now in order to glorify God and build His kingdom. I know I don't have all that it takes. I know that I need supernatural blessing, anointing, power, provision from God. How about you? And so I want to keep tapping in to what God has promised. So receiving what God has promised, or receiving what God had promised Joshua in the natural realm, required both faith and action. And that's what it's going to take for us in order to obtain in the natural realm the spiritual blessings that God has already given us in the heavenly realms. We're going to need to exercise faith and meet the conditions that God has established for His promises. And what's interesting here is what God told Joshua would make him prosperous and successful: meditating on His word and obeying it. Guess what's going to make us successful? The truth is, it's still required for us as well. Don't get caught up that, well, that's the Old Testament, that he was meditating on the law, and that the law has been fulfilled by Christ, and so we're no longer under the law. Well, we're going to read some passages where it's interesting, even in the book of James, where they didn't have the New Testament yet. They were still basing it on promises. It wasn't about the law. It was about the promises. Okay? And so what we have to look at is, in terms of us to inherit what God's told us, even in the new covenant, God has still established conditions that have to be met in order to inherit or receive in the earth, in our soul and in our body, the promises of God. So you still have to know the word, and you still have to obey the conditions that are established. That hasn't changed, because this is about the promise of God. And aren't you glad? It's just, you know, they got a promise here and a promise there. You've got them all. All of God's promises are directly associated with all of God's spiritual blessings. Did you know what was at your access as a child of God? So many Christians aren't getting it because they don't understand what I'm talking about this morning. That it doesn't just happen by accident. There has to be faith. There has to be action. And thank God, there's already the promise. So let's go for it. How about, you ready to go for it? So we must meditate on God's promises and the conditions that are required first, right? If you don't know them, how do you receive them? You got to get into God's word. You got to know God's word. That's why we emphasize Bible reading in our life groups. And I'm going to tell you, we'll talk about this in the life group meeting this afternoon. But since we have done that, there's been many Christians, and they've been Christians for a long time. That's some of the testimonies that's come out of our life groups, is that even as a Christian for a long time, I wasn't much of a Bible reader. But because I'm in this life group, and I'm doing it with a group, and there's accountability with other people, I have read more scripture in the last year than I probably did in the 10 before it. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good thing to me. And not because I'm just trying to make people miserable and fit more into their schedule and how I'm going to do that. I've got such a busy life, etc., etc. It's because we want you to know the Word of God, know the promises of God, so you can walk in the victory of God. That's why we want you to know the Word of God. It isn't to make more burden on you. It's so that the blessing of God can come to you. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. And James, and then once you get in the Word, how many know it's not, you know, there's plenty of people out there that have a lot of Bible knowledge. What I want to know is, do they have a lot of Bible application and obedience? And I'm not the only one, because the book of James says the same thing, just in case you wondered. James 1, 23 through 25. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So by the way, this is New Testament. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What that's just basic saying is that when you look in the Word of God, God's going to reveal something to you. He's going to reveal something about yourself. He's going to reveal a promise. He's going to show you something. And if you just go away from that after he's shown you something and you don't do anything with it, then it's just like looking at your face in the mirror, turn around and go, what color of hair did I have? Right? It's going to do you no good. See, if you want the Word of God to accomplish something, you got to do something with it. Right? Okay? Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, there it is. Oh, what? The law gives freedom? Whoever thunk? And continues in it, because freedom is not about justification. Freedom is about getting the blessing here of what the word says. Okay? And continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Is that a good word? Hey, there's a promise, folks. There's the first promise you ought to start with. There's the condition. Get God's word, meditate on God's word, do God's word, get blessed. Yeah. Well, in many ways, it is that simple. Because when we get to the doing part, that's when we think it becomes complicated, right? But here's one more principle that we must apply to receiving God's promises in the natural. No one else can obtain God's promises for us. And what I mean by that is no other individual can obtain God's promises for us as an individual. No other family can obtain God's promises for our family. And no other church can obtain God's promises for us as a church. We have to do that, right? Others can tell us about God's promises. Anybody ever told you about God's promises before? Something that God's promised they've held on to? They can even help you find God's promises in His Word. But they cannot lay hold of those promises for us. And this is because obtaining God's promises requires that we ourselves meditate on God's Word in order that our mind be renewed to those promises. And for those promises to get down in our heart where we believe the promises more than our circumstances or what we see in the natural or what some other person has said. See, you can't hold on to the promises like that unless you meditate on them. Because if somebody else has something that sounds a little more convincing than what you're convinced of, in what you stand on, in God's Word, you can be pulled off track. And if you get pulled off track, guess what? You don't get the promise. Well, I know someone called Satan who doesn't want you to get the promises. Because the more promises you get, the more of his kingdom you take. And the more of his blessed assurance you kick. Right? Not that he has, well, he has one blessed assurance. It's called hell. And I can't wait to kick him in there. I hope I get a piece. And so in order for us to receive God's promises in the earth, in our soul, and in our body, it will require that we ourselves learn and meditate and own those promises, and then that we ourselves obey God's word and meet the conditions that have been established associated with those promises. There's no shortcuts. No one else can do it for us. We have to do it. Okay? Now, I want to try to look at a few conditions, some examples of conditions that exist with God's promises. So you know that the pastor's not up here just feeding you a line. Okay, now we already saw Joshua's conditions that had to be met. But I want to show you promises that God has given to all of us based upon the spiritual blessings, that if we will meet the conditions that are here, that's how we receive the spiritual the promises. Okay, let's look at Matthew 6, 28 through 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now you got to take the whole counsel of God there, because I've seen people that go, well, the flowers didn't labor or spin, so I don't have to do anything to inherit the promise of God either. That's why you need to know the whole word of God, because the Bible says if a man does not work, he does not eat. So we're not talking about whether we work or not here. We're really talking about worry. That's the context, right? He said, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So here it is. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. A dad does not want his children to go without. Your Father knows that you need these things. But here's the first condition. Notice the but. That means it's conditional. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So he's saying, don't spend your time exhausting yourself in worry and fear and wonder. Seek first God's kingdom. Well, just so you know a little secret here, God's kingdom is God's domain of rule and dominion. And in God's kingdom, there is no lack. Right? And so seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Well, guess what? When it says seek his righteousness, it doesn't mean to seek it to get righteous. Because in Christ, that's one of the spiritual blessings. You already are the righteousness of Christ. So we're trying to get that which is in our spirit into our soul and into our body. So seek first God's kingdom, the place of provision, and his righteousness, which is already there. Do you see what he's doing? He's saying, listen, seek first the promise. Seek first that my God will provide for you. But see where the provision first must come, in the spiritual realm, not the natural realm. You don't get something spiritual out of something natural. You get something natural out of what is spiritual. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, we're going to broaden this, because there's more kingdom principles here. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. This is another principle related to this. Provision, God's provision. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Anybody sensing some conditions here? For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Well, there it is. He, guess what? He already has. but he wants those blessings to get into your hands. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. There it is, folks. You want to know why God wants to bless you? It's so you can abound in every good work in the kingdom of God that he's prepared in advance for you to do. God is not about you being in the poorhouse. But if you want to get out of the poorhouse, you got to be willing to do what God says to do it. And I'm going to tell you that this goes quite completely against what the average person that sets their body in a pew thinks, that's fairly new to the church. Because they think that preacher is trying to get into my back pocket. They're all money hungry, greedy. You know what? If you think that, keep your money. Keep your money. You have permission. You don't have to give one more dime. But don't come crying to me when you don't have blessings of God in your life. I know I'm being almost facetious like that. I'm more compassionate than that. But you understand the point that I'm trying to make, right? You know, if you're going to think carnally, carnal meaning worldly, the word carnal comes from the word carnivore, which means meat eater, which is related to the flesh, which is related to the natural realm, right? So if you're going to think fleshly, carnally, then you're going to get carnal blessings. And it's not going to be abundant. But if you will think kingdom and spirit and look at the conditions that God has established and obey his word, you set yourself up for God to pour blessing into your life. And again, it's not so I can enjoy the next Rolls Royce and Rolex watch and all the great wonderful things in life. It's not to lavish on myself. It's, listen, Paul said it right there. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. How many prosperity preachers preach that? There's a purpose for prosperity. Prosperity is not a purpose in itself. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that sound familiar with the Matthew passage? Will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There is no greater joy than that, folks. There ain't no amount of material things that can compare with that right there. Knowing that there are people thanking God and coming into his kingdom because we have been faithful to apply God's conditions and he's blessed us and now they get to be blessed. And man, that's what it's all about, okay? And then we're going to take it one more passage, Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Remember, we already talked about that. Carnal, natural. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Okay, now, eternal life, spiritual blessing. Then promises based upon spiritual blessing, eternal life comes back into the earth, soul, and body. Are you getting this? Okay. So he says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Anybody ever become weary in doing what God said to do? Do you think the Israelites ever got weary in battling the giants? How about you? You ever gotten weary in battling your giants? Trying to lay hold of your promises? But here it is, folks. For at the proper time, everybody say proper time. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay. Now, I have another whole half of a message that I'm not going to be able to preach today. And I'm really disappointed because I actually like the second half better than the first half. So maybe that will give you something to anticipate for next week. Okay? But this is what I want to ask you. This is what we need to do. Folks, we need to find God's promises in His Word. Okay? If you want the blessings, and we just talked about some financial blessings. I mean, I've got other examples that we'll get to next week. I won't even tell you what they are yet. You just get a hold of the blessing I shared with you today, you'll go somewhere. The promise, okay? But listen, you've got to get in God's Word. You do not have the luxury as a follower of Christ to just let your Bible sit on the shelf and collect dust. You have to make time. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're serious about it, that's why we ask you to be a part of a life group in this church. Because it's too easy when things are going rough to let yourself off the hook and neglect it. And guess what? You're actually neglecting what is giving you access to the blessing. But if you got another brother or sister that's alongside of you, that's with you, are we reading? What are we gleaning? What are we gaining? Guess what? You're going to stay in the Word. You're going to keep going. It's not just about you. It's about them too. It's actually about the kingdom of God and just not about me, myself, and I. That's what body life is all about. That's what it's intended for. Okay? But you've got to get in the Word. You've got to meditate on it, and you've got to obey. If you want to inherit the blessing, do what the Word says. Right? That's what James says. My encouragement, don't allow worry and weariness to keep you from doing what God's Word says. How many of us let worry, oh no, what am I going to do? How are we going to get through this? And I get so consumed with it, there's no way I can seek first the kingdom of God. There's no way I can focus on the promises of God. Because guess where your eyes are? They're not on the promise, they're on the problem. Right? So we need to get our eyes back on the promises, not the problems. The promises is how you defeat the problem. Not by worrying about them. Not by being so consumed that, oh, is God ever going to show up? Is anything ever going to happen? Does anybody really care? Yes, they do. Yes, He does. He cares so much, He's already given you everything you need for life and godliness. So don't give in to weariness. Don't quit. Now, my guess is some of you here this morning have been struggling with worry or weariness. In the average crowd, there's some who have. Something in your life is overwhelming you right now. I'm not saying everybody, but at least somebody. If that's you, tune in. Or you've been at this thing, battling whatever it is you've been battling for so long, and you've gotten tired, and you just, the enemy just keeps whispering, just give up, just quit, don't try. You know it's, you know, anybody had thoughts like that before? Or that God's forgotten about me. Or maybe he really doesn't care about my need. You know, I'm no significant person. Or he just isn't going to give me what I need. You're focused on the problem. See, the weariness will get you to go into worriness. That might not be good English, but that's good theology. Okay? Weariness will get you into worriness. And what you need to understand is every one of those things that you're hearing is a lie. It's a lie designed to keep you out of God's promises. But when we're dealing with something, listen, so big, or we feel like it takes so long to receive it, we need to recognize that we have got our eyes on the wrong things. That's the first step, folks. Are you willing to recognize this morning? And I ask you to ask yourself this. Has my eyes been on my problem or on God's promises? And then I want you to ask another question. If it hasn't been on the promises, do you know what God's promises are associated with your problem? And if you don't, then what's the next step you need to take? Maybe you need to get on the internet on BibleGateway.com and start putting in words that are related to your problem. And then say, but I want to find what God's promises are related to my problem. And then meditate on it. You need to get it down in here. Okay? You need to pour over God's word. You need to make it such a part of you that it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, my God's word is much bigger than my circumstances. My God's promises are much bigger than my problems. And that's where I'm going to make my focus. That's where I'm going to put my focus. And if we will move into the place where we see our problems as lesser than God's promises, this will be the place where confidence and faith start rising up. That's how you get to stir that up, is you get back focused on the Word, on His promise. And this is why the Bible instructs us to walk by faith and not by sight. Right? Faith has to be in God's word. Sight will be on the circumstances. So you've got to believe God's word. Okay? If that's you this morning, and your focus needs a new focus, can we get some... Anybody seen that new Karate Kid movie? The instructor, I don't remember his name, Chan, I think that's who it is, he says to the little kid, "Your focus needs focus." Well, how many of us have a focus that needs a new focus? That we need to focus off of our problems and onto the promises. Maybe you need a little help this morning making an adjustment. We want to pray with you. But I will tell you, this is what you must do. You must get into God's Word. We can help you. We can pray with you. We can encourage you. We can bring to bear some of the promises related to your situation. But like I said before, we can't do it for you. But one thing we can help you do is we can come alongside of you in the midst of your weariness and help pick you up and walk with you and say, you can beat this thing. Doesn't matter how big that giant is. Doesn't matter how long it's lasted. God has not forgot you. God has not given up on you. God has not pulled back his promise. it still stands. Amen? And we can encourage you to go after it and never let go. So if that's you this morning, Dawn, I'm going to have you come up here with me. Jason and Karen, why don't you come on up too? If you're ready to say, I'm tired of the weary road, I'm tired of worrying, and I'm ready to get my eyes back on God's promises, and you need some help doing that this morning, we want to invite you up here to let us pray with you, let us encourage you, let us come alongside you. Amen. Everybody, anybody ready to go down the road of promise and let go of the road of problem? Amen. So if that's you this morning, right now I'm just going to pray. If you feel need to be dismissed, you have the freedom to do that. If you're going to stay for the luncheon, I would encourage you, pray for the people that are receiving ministry. That's what a family is all about, right? Okay? Father, we thank